We are back. Welcome to another episode of The Sweet Spot, brought to you by The Racing Post. No Steve Palmer this week. And what's that I hear you say? No Palmer, no party. I scoff at that because a very able deputy is in. James Mason. James, it's lovely to see you. How have you been?
Yeah, no, thank you very much for having me back. Yeah, no, it's good. I don't think we spoke since Christmas, have we, and the New Year, but completely recovered now from all the festivities and back into the golf, which is good.
Okay. Do you feel like you're back straight back in the swing of it, or do you have to shake the rust off, as we say?
I think straight back into it, really. It was an interesting week last week, I would say. Obviously, we'll get into that very shortly. But yeah, it's always intriguing to see how some of the golfers perform as well, having had a few weeks off, shaking off the rust in this getaway, those cobwebs. But yeah, no, I think went back into it. Had a minor bit of success last week, a few places, but that was all, really. It was a bit frustrating. I thought there was the potential at one stage of having the double, but alas, it didn't happen.
Oh, what a time that would have been to kick off the year. Listen, do you drill down as much as myself and Steve did last week? We're talking about who's been married, who's had babies, who's been on their honeymoon. Do you get that deep into it, James?
Not to the full extent, as I know what Steve does, but you do, I think sometimes you have to look if one of the partners is pregnant or something like that, or they've just had a baby. I think that can have an impact on the thinking, the physical attributes of a player, you know, mentally where they're at. So for that, I do. But for marriage and stuff like that, I think I kind of skirt away from it.
Okay. Well, get involved with us here on The Sweet Spot. Jump in the comments. How deep do you dive into the lives of these golfers? And how did you get on last week? Do let us know. We'd love to hear from you. Before we get involved in the look back, before we look forward, James, I must congratulate you on a very studious backdrop. We mentioned it just before we started rolling. You've got a globe up there on the top of the book. You just don't see enough globes anymore in the world.
No, not enough globes. I mean, the bookcase is, I think, there at the top, if you can see it as well. That's all of the
Is that just for show, winners. Or can you confirm that you have indeed read all those books?
A lot of it's for show, and a lot of them are my partners. But I've read all the Harry Potter ones that are back there. But yeah, the top next to the globe, that's all the Grand National winners from the last 30 years or something. It's the silks of the jockey. But again, all for show, but it just looks quite good.
Okay, fair enough. Listen, not enough globes in the world. Excuse the pun, but not enough globes. Right, let's look back then, shall we? It was absolute carnage in running in both events, really, but most certainly in the Dubai Invitational, won by Nacho Elvira. 10 under par, Daniel Hillier 9 under par, and then we had Shane Lowry, Rory McIlroy, David Puig, amongst others, at 8 under par. A real topsy-turvy Sunday here, James. I think we had 5 different leaders at one stage during the final round.
Yeah, and Nacho Elvira managing to come out on top, but it wouldn't have been an easy watch for Elvira backers if there were any, because he looked as if he had it kind of in his palm when he got to 11 under after 8 holes of the last round. You'd think, yeah, he's fine. He then goes and bogeys 8, bogeys 9. Then on the 10th on the par 5, it's a brilliant drive. And then the second, sprays it so far right into the water. You think he's gone. You think he's dead and buried. His head's gone. He drops in, again, wasn't an easy place to drop it, and hits his fourth to within 8 foot. It was an absolutely superb shot, makes the putt for par. And I think that's where, not where it won him the tournament, but it helped to steady the ship for him. And then he managed to birdie 17 with an absolutely, again, superb second shot in there over the water, rolls in a 7-footer. Obviously, he didn't know what was happening on the 18th at that time, when Shane Lowry it's just one of those unfortunate things. He just catches it a little bit too well out of the bunker and makes a double. And then that makes Elvira's life a lot more easier when he's standing on the 18th tee and he goes, well, I've only got to make a par. It was a nice up and down from an easy one, one that he expects him to do, you know, 99 times out of 100. But in that pressure situation, he might not have done it. He could have scuffed the third shot and gone past the hole. But yeah, you've got to give him credit, because he managed to get himself back into the winning situation when it looked like he'd completely played himself out from the end of the back nine and the start of the back. Sorry, end of the front nine and start of the back nine.
Yeah, I'm sure there's plenty of golfers out there, myself included, that could sympathise with Mr. Lowry. Been in that position many a time, James. I don't usually hit the green. I usually just knife it straight through into the water. But listen, if you've not seen that shot, it was on the 11th, wasn't it, that Alvira shot? Awkward stance, incredible golf shot. Go and watch that. That was a third DP World Tour title for him. There was carnage in running, as you've mentioned. What did you make of the event as a whole? Any takeaways? Obviously, a bold showing from Mr. McIlroy, who's, you know, we're going to be favourite again this week on a course that will suit him more. But a good showing from Rory on his comeback.
Yeah, no, it was a good showing, and it was new irons in the bag for McIlroy as well in the week. So he's switched from, he's been blades throughout his career, blades, 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 and then he switched his irons to the cavity black irons. So pretty much he said they're more forgiving, which helps him a little bit more. So I think it's, you could maybe say it's ominous that the fact he's had new irons in the bag and he still finished tied third. He never really looked at it on the last round, sort of, he was playing with Turbo and Ollison, and those two weren't really doing much. And then it's just how tight the tournament was. No one was really streaking clear, and he managed to get himself back into it. Just didn't quite happen in the last couple of holes. But yeah, I think he'd be happy. I've sort of read some of the quotes and what he's been saying, and he was happy with a lot of stuff he did. He said he was happy with his putting and his short game. He just said this week is more about hitting fairways. So he said he was hitting the driver a lot last week, but he said that was just more for practice. I think that's more ahead of this tournament. If he can get his driver going, obviously he's one of the most destructive players out there, but I think he'll be happy with what he's done. Tommy Fleetwood was a little bit disappointing. He got completely done with the second round where he just lost it. He actually played pretty well over the weekend, and he got himself back to 3 under on the last round at one point. So he was making a decent charge. But yeah, for Fleetwood, it was maybe just shaking away a little bit of rustiness.
Anything else to add on that event before we move on, James?
No, I think that's all of the takeouts I've got. I thought it was a fantastic event. I would say that. Yeah. It was a really good start to the year.
Textbook Sunday drama, topsy-turvy, and Elvira coming through to score. Right, let's move to Hawaii then for the Sony Open. And there was absolute carnage here as well. Poor old Davis Riley, one of Steve's favourites as well. I'm sure he would have been cheering on his man. I think it was a five-shot swing at one stage here. Went from two ahead to three back. And it was Chris Gotterup who came through to score, 16 under par. Ryan Gerrard, 14 under par. Patrick Rogers up there. We also had Bridgman and Bobby Mack as well showing up well, 12 under par. But 17 in the world now, Chris Gotterup.
Yeah, no, he's a player, isn't he, where maybe goes slightly under the radar, maybe doesn't get the plaudits that he deserves, but he's shown that he can win some big tournaments. Like you said, a third PGA Tour win, and he just...
Third in the Open as well last year.
Third in the Open. Well, he won the Scottish Open, didn't he? The Genesis Scottish Open, yeah. And then went into the Open and performed really well. So he's definitely a player that's got quality. But like I said, he's maybe just a bit more understated than some of the other players out on tour. He's maybe not as vocal of some of them, so he doesn't get the headlines. But yeah, he just seemed to ease his way through on that last round. He was very comfortable, you know, 6 under par. It's, you know, only one bogey that he made. So he just rose through the field while the others were starting to falter. And you mentioned Davis Riley there. There's just a huge concern over Davis Riley, isn't there, when he's in contention and he just seems to wilt at the moment that you don't want to.
Yeah, is that one that he's going to wear for a little while, the old mental scars? James, it's got to be sore. He looked in control and then it just all fell apart.
Yeah, I think it will. It's one that could take him a little bit of time. I don't think it'll maybe take time as others, just because there were so many players in and around then, so many with the chances. I think he probably would have thought, there will be people coming at me. And he probably knew he'd have to probably shoot around a 5 under par round to win the tournament, which would have got him into a playoff. So, yeah, it'll take him a little bit of time. But again, I think not as much as some of the other near misses that he's had.
And, you know, we spoke about it at length on last week's show, but just watching the trees, you know, that kind of flank the fairway. Very windy conditions. You know, it's not easy to golf under conditions like that. And, yeah, you know, Chris Gotterup's got the job done. You mentioned his Scottish Open win. He's third in the the Open as well. Just ball control in the wind is key in events like this.
Yeah, well, that's it. If you're a golfer that's got a bit of links form and you go into these type of events, you know, wind picks up, then they usually start to perform quite well. And probably no surprise to see Robert McIntyre as well putting in a good performance. He said that he rued his attitude in the tournament because he snapped his putter on Friday, and he said that cost him really. But he managed to come back on the last round, have a good performance. He's now up to sixth in the world rankings. He's just slowly creeping up there as McIntyre. This could be a really big year for him in terms of potentially getting a major championship for McIntyre.
I felt like doing it, but I've never snapped a club on course. James, what about yourself?
No, I used to in the younger days when I cared about what I was doing on the round a bit more. I used to hit the bag with the club. That was
petulance.
Yeah, it was petulance, or you know, you'd hit it into the rough or something. You know, you'd smack it into the ground. But I've never snapped one. I don't think not even on purpose. So I've got 100%.
I played with a mate of mine who's got a bit of a temper, and he did throw. I think it was a 3-wood into the tree, and it stayed in the tree. And then he proceeded to throw stuff into the tree to try and knock this club down. So it was funny for me anyway. But I've never snapped one. Right, should we move on, James, then? Should we preview? Should we look forward?
Why not?
Let's do it then. A reminder to get involved. Jump in the comments. Who are your plays for this week? We've got two tournaments to get stuck into. Let's dive straight into it then. We are going to Dubai for the Dubai Desert Classic, the first Rolex Series event of the year, which means cha-ching, cheddar, of course. Loads of course form here to get stuck into as well. Recent winners, Tyrrell Hatton, McIlroy twice, Hovland, Casey, Lucas Herbert, and Bryson DeChambeau. 24 under par as well, I think, was a record. Listen, length off the tee looks a factor here, James. I'll let you tell us about the course, but we've got a difference in winning scores here. I mentioned that 24 under par, DeChambeau, when it was, you know, calm, but the wind can pick up in the desert, right?
Yeah, it can. And that was shown there. DeChambeau, record 24 under. And then Lucas Herbert, 9 months later, 9 under. So that's when the wind picks up, is when the scoring conditions become really, really hard. So weather forecast is something you have to look out for here. At the minute, it's saying it's sunny, warm throughout. Thursday is when the winds pick up. So Thursday, I think, is when you're going to have the most challenging conditions. So it's maybe just one for a player where it's stick in there. If you hit level par, then you're still in the competition. But yeah, I think the gusts are getting up, I think, over an excess of 20 miles an hour on the Thursday. But over the next 3 days, over Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it's a bit easier. So I think the scoring will be much better.
Okay. Lay it down for us then, James. What sort of course are we looking at? And more importantly, what sort of player should we be looking for this week?
Yeah, well, I think you've alluded to it already, but power is the advantage for this week. The Emirates Golf Club, you mentioned a lot of course form as well. The inaugural event was back in 1989. It's been held here, the Dubai Desert Classic, every year, apart from 1999 and 2000. It's a par 72. It's a fairly big course, 7,439 yards. You've got 4 par 5s, 10 par 4s and 4 par 3s. Mentioned the wind has a big impact on the overall scoring, on how low it can be. You know, it's an exposed layout. You know, the more it picks up, the harder the conditions become. The greens, they were renovated 4 years ago, but being a great putter, it hasn't really proven to be like a big metric to success. It's power off the tee, which I'm looking at. And you look at the winners, McIlroy, record 4 times, DeChambeau, Victor Hovland in 2022. You know, he gives it a good whack off the tee. So I'm looking for a powerful player this week. 131, last time I checked, we're going to post for this one. And also, just because I know people like it, get your bets on 3:30 a.m. By 3:30 a.m. on Thursdays when you need to get your bets in, because it's an early one.
Oh, well, yeah. We like to know, James, because many a time I've wanted to back a player, and if you miss the start, the each-way terms can change. And also, there's been, you know, if your player starts well, you've missed the boat with the price. So what can you do? So early doors on Thursday then to get involved with the Dubai Desert Classic. The market, Mr. McIlroy tops it. Then we've got Tommy Fleetwood and Tyrrell Hatton leading the way. It's a star-studded affair here. How many players are you putting up for us here, James?
3 selections for this one.
Okay, three selections then in the Dubai Desert Classic. Who is the main pick?
The main pick is Ryan Fox. Now, power, I mentioned, will provide an advantage this week, and Fox is someone that just has plenty of it. He's effortlessly powerful when you do look at him swing the club. He's kind of akin to me to like Tony Finau, because when Finau swings, he never looks like he's at full torque, really. And I get that similarity with Fox as well. I think he's got plenty of power in there to use if he wants to. Now, he averaged, what, just over 306 yards and driving distance last season on the DP World Tour. So he was one of the biggest hitters. He can give it a really good rip if he wants to. But he's got good form in this part of the world as well, in the United Arab Emirates. His best finish here came last year. He was tied 10th. It adds to his solid form in this part of the world. So he won the 2022 Ras Al Khaimah Classic. That was by 5 shots. So he romped to victory. He was tied 11th there on his defence in 2023 as well. You look at a bit more of the form for Fox around tournaments, near in and around there. He was 27th, tied 27th at the Dubai Invitational last week. He was also tied 14th there in 2024 and tied 20th in 2023. So he seems to like sort of the bigger exposed layouts where he can just open the shoulders a little bit off the tee. Links form as well can also correlate quite nicely to these type of tests as well, the desert test, because, you know, you see some of the similarities in the setups and if the wind picks up as well. Well, Fox is a player that does like links golf. He won the 2022 Alfred Dunhill Links Championship. So I think there's a lot of parts of his game that I really like about Fox coming into this one. And again, bit of an understated player. I think he doesn't get looked at as much as some of the other players on the DP World Tour, on the PGA Tour, when, you know, getting to the majors. So I just think Fox is somebody, you know, he's got a stellar CV, 4 times a DP World Tour winner, so he knows how to get over the line. And I just think that power play, that could put him right in contention this week.
I knew it. I knew you wasn't going to be going for anyone short, James. You are the each-way thievery man, that is for sure. You mentioned something quite interesting then. I'll be a big believer in this. When there's tournaments in this part of the world, obviously, look, culture, way of living is all different in places like Dubai. And you've got to be looking at players that have performed well in this part of the world previously, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, you can see some players that really don't like this type of test. You know, the short hitters in sort of courses like these type of setups, they're not going to do very well because they're going to be losing a lot of yardage off the tee. It makes the approach shots a bit harder. Like I said, the greens are what they are on these courses in the UAE. They're not usually the hardest to try and negotiate, but it's all about just having that brute force off the tee, giving yourself easier shots into the greens, and then, you know, if you can hold some putts, and it's all good. But I think definitely form in this part of the world is something that you have to look at.
Okay, nice big price. Do you like to open your shoulders, James, and let a rip?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm effortlessly powerful, but I can knock it up there. But yeah, it's been a long time since I've got on the course, to be honest. I'm not sure if I can actually hit it off the tee at the minute.
Oh, come on. That should have been your New Year's resolution. More golf. I think last time we had you on the show, we had this chat, and I've told you, you need to get out on the course, mate. So
Make it happen.
We'll try and get some sort of golf day going here on the Sweet Spot. I think we'll get James and Steve onto the course and see if James can indeed open the shoulders. Right, Ryan Fox is someone who will most definitely be sending it. He is James's main selection. The price is getting bigger, James.
The prices are getting bigger, yes.
Now we are talking each way darts here. Right, who is the next best?
Well, this is the biggest of the prizes, actually. It's Alejandro Del Rey. Now, we had a Spanish winner last week, didn't we, with Nacho Elvira. I think we could have another one potentially in Del Rey. Now, I mentioned sort of course form and form around this area. That's something you need to look at. Well, Del Rey, he broke his DP World Tour duck in the UAE last January. He won the Ras Al Khaimah Championship. And you look at some of his other UAE form as well. He was tied 17th at the Abu Dhabi Championship last year. And then if you move a little bit further over to Qatar, he was tied 16th at the 2024 Qatar Masters. So again, he's a player that likes these type of setups. And he's another player who packs a punch off the tee. He was 17th in driving distance on the DP World Tour last season. He averaged just over 307 yards. So he's getting it out there. He drove the ball really well last week as well. He was 4th in strokes gained off the tee. So it's a really pleasing aspect and positive coming into this tournament. You know, there's the hope that the win for Elvira will sort of ignite something in Del Rey and that he could deliver another Spanish success. But yeah, I just think, I think with McIlroy being in, obviously, the favourite for this tournament and a few other big players up there, how short they are on the betting, it's beefed up the odds for other players. And I just think Del Rey looks like a really good each-way play.
I love it, James. Listen, I've got to scroll a long way down to find Del Rey, which is absolutely marvellous. He's a second pick. Who is the third and final pick then?
Yeah, we're going for Niklas Norgaard, or Niklas Norgaard Muller, but I think he's just gone to Niklas Norgaard now, but he does appear on the betting still for some sites as Niklas Norgaard Muller, so just watch out for that one. But yeah, third and final selection, it is Muller. Now, he won the 2024 British Masters, so you know he doesn't have to get that monkey off the back. He enjoyed a strong end to that year as well. He notably, again, finished tied 10th at the Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship, so that's good form in this part of the world. Last year, it wasn't as impressive for him, but he started off the year by getting a share of fourth at the Dubai Desert Classic. He was three shots behind the eventual winner, Tyrrell Hatton, and he was really sharp off the tee and on the greens last week at the Dubai Invitational. He was only tied 33rd, but I wasn't too bothered about the actual sort of where he finished. I was just looking for the positives from his performances. He was 11th in driving distance. He was 13 in strokes gained off the tee. And he was in the top 10 for all the main putting statistics. So you sort of see where did his game let him down. It was just the approach play. Just needs to sharpen on that up a little bit. Boost the greens and regulation percentage. I think he could be a really dangerous contender. But he's so good off the tee. And again, that's what I'm looking for this week, is a powerful player and someone with a little bit of form around this part of the world.
Brilliant. They are James's three picks then. We'll remind you of those a little bit later on. Like you've spoken about power, a strength being off the tee, and that leads us nicely to the favourite this week. Rory McIlroy is not your pick. I knew he wouldn't be, James, because you're a man that likes to run away from the short prices on the golf, and I like that a lot. Other than the price, what are the negatives? And give us some positives as well with McIlroy. We know he's a previous winner here, of course, and one of the very best.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, there'll be a lot of McIlroy backers this week, and I wouldn't put anybody off wanting to go for him because his record here is sensational. He's won four times. He won back-to-back in 23 and 24. He hasn't finished outside of the top 10 in his last 12 appearances. So he's always there or thereabouts. He's always challenging for the victory. It's just because golf is such a, can be hard to predict, you know, a volatile sport, you know, anything can happen. If he just has one bad round, sprays it in the water, you know, it doesn't quite happen. If he has, you know, if the irons don't perform as well as they did last week, the new irons they do this week, you know, anything can happen. I just think at that short a price, I'm always willing to take on somebody in a field which has 130 other competitors against him. I just think for me, there's definitely more value in looking at others.
Yeah, you're a man after my own heart, James, that's for sure. You know, if you can find even a 33 to 1 poke, 40s, 50s, 60s, whatever, with the each way terms, if you can bag a place, you're winning more money than you would back in McIlroy to win it.
Yeah, absolutely agree. That's what I like to do. I like to try and get a good each way play because, you know, I like to have the cover. That's what I like to do. And there are lots of players I think that will make appeal going into this tournament. And you look at some of the others there. You mentioned if you can find maybe sort of a 30, 40s poke. I mean, Thorbjørn Olesen is another one. He performed pretty well last week, tied 7th, just didn't quite get it going over the last round. But he has form in this part of the country, in the UAE as well. He's got a UAE victory on his CV. So again, he's somebody that could be looked at. You've got some of the livers coming over and playing in there. There's quite a healthy LIV contingent actually that are in this tournament. Obviously, Tyrrell Hatton is the defending champion. You've got Joaquin Neiman in there as well. Tom McKibben is another one. Nikolai Højgaard, Laurie Kanter. Kanter having been LIV, then to the DP, and then he's gone back to LIV after he got a PGA Tour card. So he's showing up as well. There are lots of players in that do make appeal. David Puig as well. You know, you look at Jaden Schaefer. He was the man of the moment, wasn't he, with a couple of victories in a row to sort of end 2025. There are players that will really, really fancy their chances, I think, of winning this tournament. And I just think because there's so many good quality players in there, that's why I'm quite happy to leave McIlroy at his price he is at the top of the betting.
Okay, well, I'll fire a few names at you, James, that are somewhere near the top. Give us your thoughts. I'm going to jump down because you've mentioned him. Neiman is a big price here, an absolute win machine on the LIV Tour, of course. But big price, is he? You know, as big as 30 in a place. What are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, again, he's somebody who's added a bit more power to his game, I think, over recent years. He's always a pretty accurate player, but he's got a bit more about him in terms of distance. Yeah, winning machine on LIV. I just think maybe he won't have turned out for quite a while now in terms of competitive action. So how ready will he be for this tournament? I'm not too sure. But certainly, again, he could easily go in on him, but he just didn't quite make the cut.
Okay. Tommy Fleetwood.
Yeah, Tommy Fleetwood. He'll be desperate to make amends for, well, say make amends for last week, you know, for starting off so slowly. And it could have been that performance or the outing he needed just to get that rustiness out of him. Again, very solid player, but maybe just a bit too short for me as well. Obviously, he's a second favourite, be something like that, so he's maybe just a bit too skinny.
Right, one more then, because we've mentioned Hatton already as the defending champion. What about the Hovland?
Hovland, for me, I'm not quite sure if the consistency levels are back there with him. Obviously, very talented player, won a lot of times. He had the dip, didn't he? But yeah, I'm just not fully convinced. I'd like to see a little bit more Hovland before potentially going in on him. He's very talented. Obviously, he's a former winner of this in 2022, so he knows how to get around the course. But I maybe think he should be a little bit higher in the betting potentially. I'd maybe take Hovland if he was around 40s, maybe somewhere around there. I'm not asking for a lot, but that's maybe where I would see it at the tournament minute if I feel quite comfortable going in on him, because there's just too many kind of little worries about the consistencies of his game at the moment.
Yeah, if I could just get maybe 33s about McIlroy, I might be interested in getting him. Let us know in the comments whether you're a layer or a player, McIlroy. He's a short price, but of course, one of the greatest to ever swing it. So let us know. Be keen to know if anyone out there is just going McIlroy, it suits. I'm just head down and in we go. Of course, gamble responsibly. We, of course, would always tell you that here on The Sweet Spot. Should we move on, James?
Yes, let's go on.
Okay, right. Are we calling this the West Coast Swing? I read that somewhere. You happy to call this on the PGA Tour, yeah?
Yeah, we can. There's always got to be some swing about a tournament these days, isn't
there? Okay, right. This is the American Express. We've got three courses in rotation here. Tell us about the event, the field, and what sort of player we should be looking for.
Yeah, it's the American Express. It's a pro-am, and it's in La Quinta, California. It used to be a 5-round pro-am, but that wasn't really working. They were struggling to sort of attract the big field, so they changed to a conventional, sort of the traditional 4-round tournament in 2012. It's played over three courses, like you mentioned. There's been 13 different courses have been used across the years, but the three that we've got this week, the Pete Dye Stadium course at PGA West, you've got the Nicklaus Tournament course at PGA West, and you've got La Quinta Country Club. They've been used since 2016. There's only one year where La Quinta wasn't in that year. That was 2021. So these three courses, they're well known. There's a lot of statistics to go for. They're all par 72s. They've got 4 par 5s, 10 par 4s and 4 par 3s. In terms of the length of the course, you've got the stadium at 7,210, the Nicklaus at 7,147 and you've got La Quinta at 7,060 yards. Each player does compete at the three courses over the opening 3 days. You've then got a cut made with the top 65 in ties, making it through to Sunday where they return to this stadium course, which is the hardest of the three. But you have to remember, this is a pro-am, so the rough is minimal. Low scoring is required for success. You know, they want the amateurs to get around, you know, quite easily and not hold up play. So, you know, since it's changed to 4 rounds in 2012, 20 under or better has been needed for victory. So you better be sinking the putts, otherwise you won't be anywhere near this week. So strong putters is the order of the week. Well, I also want someone who played last week as well. That's part of my selections.
Interesting. Right, the winning scores then, from what we've seen in recent years, Sepp Straka 25 under, Nick Dunlap, I'm pretty sure was an amateur when he won this, 29 under par, John Rahm 27 under, Swofford 23 under, Sinwoo Kim 23 under par. I've got two questions for you, James. The first one is, what is the obsession with the pro-am angle? These are professional golf tournaments. Why are we, you know, making the course easy, or should I say easier, to accommodate the amateurs? And is this just going to be, which I fear it's going to be, a putting competition?
Yeah, the first point, I think it's all about the wonga, isn't it? It's all about building the money, attracting audiences. For me, that's why they put on the pro-ams. I'm not quite sure how much the pros like doing the pro-ams. Sometimes they say that it can help them, you know, distract them from the actual what they're trying to win. But yeah, I'm not a biggest fan of the pro-ams, to be honest. And yes, I think it will just be a putting competition with no real defences of the three courses. You know, there's been a 59 at La Quinta, there's been a 59 at the Nicklaus course, and I think the course record for the stadium courses is 61. So yeah, there's low scores, and you know, weather forecast is sunny, calm, temperatures peaking at 23 degrees. So it's just set up for what should be a bit of target golf, really. So the putter's the main club in the bag this week.
Okay, we've let the cat out of the bag somewhat. I was going to say, I'm sitting comfortably, and if you were to tip Scotty Scheffler, I would most definitely fall off my chair. But he didn't play last week, so I know that you're not tipping him. Right, how many? We've got three in Dubai. How many for the American Express?
Gone one extra, gone for four.
Okay, right, so 12 each way doubles if you want to play that way. Who is the main selection then for the American Express?
It's Harry Hall is the main selection. Now, you talk about a great putter, and he is exactly that. He is so sharp when he's on the greens. You know, he fits the bill really well. He was first in total putting average, and putts per round on the PGA Tour last season. So it shows how good he was with the flat stick. He was third in strokes gained putting. There were seven putting metrics on the PGA Tour stats last season that he was first in. So that club is, you know, one that he doesn't have to worry about. He's not having to work hard on it, which makes good for this tournament. Now, he's had four cracks at the American Express. His best result came last year when he was tied 21st. So seems to be getting used, I think, to the three-course setup, and, you know, arrives here full of confidence. He was tied sixth last week at the Sony Open in Hawaii. That was a really positive start to the year for him. You know, his stock's been increasing nicely over the last couple of years. He's quite a liked character, actually, on the PGA Tour. He's well known on the course with the flat cap that he wears as well. Kind of like a Bryson DeChambeau-esque when he first came onto the scene. He had the flat cap. Well, Harry Hall's done that as well. But, you know, he's got a win as well on the PGA Tour. He won the 2024 ISCO Championship, won a five-man playoff there. So he showed really good bottle to get through that one. He was really consistent last year as well, while he didn't win, but he made 22 of his 25 cuts. He had five top 10s. He had 15 top 25s. Everything is just looking really positive for Hall. Mentioned that performance last week. That'll have done in the world of good. Now he heads to the Am Express in California. I just think he looks like an ideal fit for this with that strong putting.
Well, with some stats like that, James, I reckon he's a man that's never snapped his putter.
I'd hope he has, and I hope he's got that thing just, you know, completely tucked away from everywhere behind lock and key when he's not playing. Anybody gets hold of that putter, they might start putting well.
40s is out there. Again, I'm going to ask you the same question. Do the prices get bigger?
I think they do from what I remember when I was putting them down. So yeah, only slightly on some of them, but they do get bigger.
Listen, I'm happy with that. Right, each way doubles are plenty then this week, that's for sure. Who's the next best in the American Express?
We're going with Denny McCarthy. I think he is well known to the sweet spot listeners with the maybe troubles and tribulations he's had of trying to get over the line. He's still chasing that first PGA Tour title, but it's got to be only a matter of time until he makes that win. You know, he's such a good player. It will happen at some point. I mentioned the strong putters. McCarthy is one of those as well. He's really comfortable on the greens. He was fourth in total putting and strokes gained putting last season. So, you know, he's always assured with the flat stick in hand. like Hall as well, had a really consistent year in 2025. He only missed two cuts. He had a top five, he had two top tens, he had 10 top 25. So very, very consistent play. He's got a best finish of tied sixth at the American Express. That came back in 2022. So very much capable of performing in these type of surroundings. He was tied 40th in Hawaii last week. I'm not too bothered again about where he finished in that one. I just think that's going to shake off any rustiness. And I think he's one to watch out for with how good he is on the putting surfaces.
I think we're going to have to ban the word rust from the sweet spot for probably a month or so. Until every player's got rid of their rust.
We can ban it after this because they've had the first performance for most people
exactly,
in 2026.
Exactly. Right. Two down, two to come. Who else do you like this week, James?
Yeah, Keith Mitchell is the third selection. He's another player who teed it up last week. He ended up tied 66th. Again, the result doesn't really bother me. We know why for that. I'm not going to mention that word. We've just banned now from this one. yes. But he entered the tournament pretty well. He had a round of 67. So that was positive for him coming into this event. You know, you look at how he was doing with the putter. And on the last 18 holes, that's when he started to get the putter going. He was in the top 20 for strokes gained putting. Putts per green regulation, and feet of putts made. So I think that was more pleasing to see that he was starting to roll the rock pretty well there on the last 18 holes. He's a tidy player. He's dependable from tee to green. And I think if the putter performs like it did on Sunday over the next four rounds here, then he will be in with a chance of winning this tournament. He's also got form here. His last three appearances, tied 22nd, tied 9th, tied 21st. It's also a positive well that he ranked 6th in birdie average last season. So in a tournament when you're going to have plenty of them, Mitchell was firing them in.
May I offer you the expression, blew away the cobwebs, rather than...
You know what? I have used that. I've got rustiness and blew away the cobwebs. I've definitely had it. You know what? It's coming up on my fourth selection. I had blow away the cobwebs written down.
Bring it on. I welcome it. I'm ready for it. Right, who is the fourth pick?
It's Hao Tong Lee is the fourth and final pick. Now, he was one of the 10 players that got those PGA Tour cards from the DP World Tour for his finish in the race to Dubai last season. And I think he's got a great chance of winning on the US circuit if he can maintain that form from 2025. It will be his Amexpress debut, but he's a very experienced player. You know, he won't be fazed by this three-course setup. He was in really solid form towards the end of last year as well. He had a tied 8th and tied 10th finish before his first outing of 2026. And that was a tied 55th in Hawaii last week. Again, not too fussed about that result. He blew away the cobwebs that were gathered over that festive period. Not that I think that Hao Tong Lee's a big partier anyway when it comes to that to the festivities, but I just think it'll put him in good stead for this tournament. He made huge gains with the putter last year as well. That was a club that he tried to work on quite a lot. And he was first in putts per green in regulation, 7th in average putts per round last season on the DP World Tour. So I think it's really, really good that he's managed to get that club working for him better. I also just think it's nice to see Hao Tong Lee back playing good golf because he had a torrid few years. And I think you thought that was it for him. He went in the wilderness for sort of two, three, 4 years and then suddenly came back. And it's great to see. And also, I think of Hao Tong Lee, and I think he's like 40. He's only 30. He's been around for ages. But I think of him like, well, I swear I was watching him, you know, 15 years ago, which I could have been when he's breaking onto the scene. But he's such a good player, you know, such a likable character as well. I think he's got a good chance this week.
Marvellous. Okay. Right. That is four, James, right? That's four, right?
That is four. We've got them all sorted.
We've got them all sorted. Okay, let's jump to the top of the market then. Listen, there will be people out there, I've no doubt whatsoever, that just go McIlroy, Scheffler, double, thanks very much. If I was a layer or a bookmaker, I think I'd be trying to entice people in and say, here's an enhanced double for them both to win. What are your thoughts on the Scheff? He's actually an even shorter price than McIlroy, which is remarkable, although he is... you know, one of the greatest as well. What are your thoughts on him other than the price? Let's park the price for a moment. He's back in action.
he's back in action. This was actually where he was meant to make his debut last year, and then he had his kitchen incident, his Christmas incident with the knife, didn't he, over?
Yeah.
And it delayed his comeback. Yeah, I mean, I think, again, he's a very, very strong player. You know, world number one, there's a reason why he's the favourite going into this one. He makes birdies for fun. Again, I just think there's too many other good players in there. Over a three-course setup as well. So, obviously, the weather forecast meant to be really good. But if that changed and then suddenly Scheffler was playing one of the courses and you know, it was more challenging conditions than it was, and, you know, he might have missed out on another day. That course could play very easily. So he plays on the Thursday and it's hard. Somebody else plays on a Friday and they tear it up. I just think there's too many sort of variables for me with a three-course setup as well, where, yeah, I don't like going for somebody such a short price.
What about, you know, if the course was tougher, would you probably make a stronger case for Scotty Scheffler? I play a lot of snooker, and if a good player plays a moderate player on a table with big pockets, it's a bit of a leveller. But if the pockets are tight, you'd fancy the better player. So surely when a golf course is tougher, you'd be hoping that cream rises to the top. I look at these golf courses this week and some of the scores that have been posted. Someone could easily shoot 59 and low 60s, and Scheffler's going to have to pull out all the stops just to beat that player.
Yeah, well, that's it, because all the courses are set up easier with it being a pro-am. There's going to be birdies going in left, right and centre, and if Scheffler's just not quite there, I mean, this is his first outing of 2026, so is he going to be on it straight away? And if he's not, if you're behind the eight ball after the first round, you've got a lot of distance to potentially make up on someone who's absolutely fired up there. You know, if someone goes and shoots a 10 under on the first round and you've only gone and shot one under, two under, eight shots to make back in this type of tournament is a lot of work to do. And I'm not even sure Scheffler would be able to do that. So, yeah, you've got to look at the level of players as well. That's in and around him. There's a lot of the world's best are in there. You know, you've got Ludwig Aubert, you've got McIntyre, Russell Henley, Cantlay, Burns, Matt Fitzpatrick, Straka, the defending champion. There's loads of players in there that have got a real good say in this tournament. So, yeah, I think, like you said, if it was harder and the courses were harder and it's maybe just a one-course setup, then, yeah, Scheffler makes appeal. But I think with three courses, all very easy, with birdies going in everywhere, it just doesn't make appeal to me.
It's quite a remarkable market, this one, actually, James, because, you know, he's hovering around about 3-1. Ben Griffin is next in, at least a 20-1 chance.
I talked about the Dubai with how Macro being in there had beefed up the odds. Well, like you said, this is just even more. I mean, the odds that some of the players are available at is scary, really. And obviously, you got to be, you know, as the bookie, you got to be wary of Scheffler, because if he comes in, a lot of people will try and back him, and rightly so. But yeah, there's just other players in there that you look at some of them. I mean, Sam Burns, I mean, he's not one really spoken about going into this one, but you can get him at a chunky price, and he's won multiple times on the PGA Tour. There's just so many players in there, so many quality players. I think it's eight of the top, or seven of the top 10, or eight of the top 10 are potentially playing in this tournament when I last checked. So, you know, there's a lot of players that have gone there, and they want to win this one.
Okay, one of those, and a player that has already been back this week, is Russell Henley. What are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, Henley's a tidy player. He seems to have elevated his game over the past couple of years. Definitely someone that's got the potential of going in. I'm just, again, I'm never entirely convinced of him sometimes. He seems to be sort of in and around there, but can fade away a little bit sometimes. We just want him to, you know, like a Scheffler or somebody, when they need to make birdies, they go and make them. I'm just not totally convinced that Henley has maybe got that bit about his game as of yet. I think Henley's someone who would really thrive at a really hard course, like a US Open.
Yeah.
And the harder the course, that's when he comes into his own, because his iron play is so sharp, he's usually pretty steady off the tee. So I think that is where Henley, for me, if you think about major talk, I think US Open is something that he could potentially go well in.
Right, two more then at the top of the market, two Europeans as well. Robert McIntyre, who we saw in action last week, the player that you've just mentioned as well, Ludwig Aubert, back in action.
Yeah, Ludwig, again, very talented player. It just depends how he how he sort of starts off in the tournament again. It's his first outing of 2026. How sharp is he going to be? Out of the two of those, I'd be taking on McIntyre. I'd be backing McIntyre out of the two of them because he had his performance last week. He played pretty well. He kind of gave himself that talking to. He said his attitude's got to be better. He can't be sort of losing his head like he did on the Friday. And I think that's good. And he's, you know, up to world number six, his highest ranking. So there's confidence, there's positives for McIntyre. More, I think, than there is for Aubert. There were two actual individuals that I nearly put in the plan, but I haven't. I left them off this week. Just thought I'd maybe have a bit of a watching brief. But the first one was Adrien Sadier, who is a massive price. But I just want to see a little bit more of him. He was one of the 10 that got the cards for the PGA Tour from the DP World Tour last season. And it's maybe just a touch early, I think, to go in on him. And the other one who was very, very close was Christian Bezuidenhout, another great putter. He was runner-up in 2024 as well. But this is his first outing since mid-December, so I'm not sure how sharp he'll be.
Right. Okay. Steve Palmer's obviously not here this week. He's in Barcelona at ICE for Spotlight Sports Group. He'll be listening, and what I'm about to say will bring a wry smile to his face. I have no doubt whatsoever. I don't have my bin anywhere near me. But a point I've made on this show previously, and you've touched on it as well, is about prices being beefed up. Michael Thorbjørnsen, much a talking horse here on the Sweet Spot. I noticed, listen, we've previewed many a competition, a tournament, myself and Steve, where he's been, you know, 14, 16s, 18s, 20s in a weak field, is a 50-1 chance here in undoubtedly a stronger field. This is the kind of tournament that I'd rather back him in, James. Do you understand that school of thought? You know, that, you know, I'd rather take a chance in him at 50s, having not won an event, than a much shorter price, less than half that price in a weaker field.
Absolutely. I think Thorbjørnsen is a player who's got a lot of talent. But like you said, I don't want him going in as somebody who is fancied to win, is in one of the favourites to win it. That's when he's gone into the tournaments and you think, yep, get on him, and he's not performed. I think this takes the pressure off him because no one's going to be looking at Thorbjørnsen coming into this tournament. They're looking at your Schefflers, your McIntyres, your Auberts, your Cantleys, and then suddenly there's Thorbjørnsen behind them. And you know, he's being beefed up in the market, and I think it will help him more because he can just play his own game. Maybe the prime aspect of this will help Thorbjørnsen as well because it will just distract him a little bit. But I think, yeah, I'm absolutely with you. I think backing him in this type of tournament is better than backing him if he was going into the tournament as one of the favourites.
What am I? I've absolutely lost the plot, James. Well, he's in the bin and I've just talked him up. Who knows? Right. Anything else to add on the American Express, James?
No, I think I've nailed it all there. The four selections and the two potentials. But I think it'll be an absolute birdie fest. So yeah, there's maybe some in play stuff to go in as you're watching it through the four rounds. But definitely, I think it'll be an intriguing tournament.
Okay, well, give us the bet by time, and I want from you a number. What is the winning score going to be?
So the bet by time is 4:30 p.m. on Thursday. Get them in before that time. And the winning score, I'm going to go 23 under.
Solid. Okay, well, we've covered off, we've boxed off last week and the week ahead. Listen, you've told me you're going to struggle to get out on the golf course, James. What do you do in your spare time?
I do a little bit of running. I've got into running a little bit more now over the past few years. That was more my missus getting me into doing a bit of exercise. She doesn't think golf's exercise, which I completely argue the point. It is. As you know,
I bet she'd let you go on a walk though, wouldn't she? She'd let you go on a walk.
She lets me go on a walk. You know, it's got the steps. You do, you know, in excess of 10,000 probably, and the physical attribute there. I don't carry my bag anymore, but that was it. But yeah, a bit of running. To be fair, I was actually meant to be playing golf on Thursday, but the forecast is absolutely horrendous. So me and my dad have cancelled it for another date, I think.
Just get to the range. Get to the range or find some sort of simulator somewhere. Why not?
To be fair, there are a few simulators around that I do know. My old golf course has a simulator in there, but I like to get out on the course. You know, I've had new irons. I got new irons last May, and I've used them. I think I've used them for two rounds of golf. It makes me sad and upset that they're in the garage and they're collecting dust at the minute. I need to get them back out.
Right, we're going to have a golf day here on the Sweet Spot. We will sort something out. Right, let's have a roundup then. Two tournaments. We've got the Dubai Desert Classic and the American Express. Remind us who we should be back in this week, please, James.
Yep, so for the Dubai Desert Classic, three selections of Ryan Fox, Alejandro Del Rey and Nicholas Norgaard. And for the American Express, there was four selections. We've got Harry Hall, Denny McCarthy, Keith Mitchell and Hao Tong Lee.
Marvellous. James, it's been a pleasure as ever. You out there in YouTube land. Do get involved with us here on the Racing Post YouTube channel. Like, comment, subscribe, hype us. We want to know who you are backing this week in the golf. Enjoy it. Gamble responsibly. And we'll see you next time.